Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. And again, is it okay to say ladies and gentlemen? Man, that comes to your thought. You know, we're moving into a world where the narrative is being shifted and controlled by a lunatic fringe on the far left. And when you think about not being allowed to say ladies and gentlemen or good evening, sir, or good evening, ma'am, what a crazy time we're living in. But yesterday we were talking for a period of time about, all the shiftings, the shifting sand of our times. I mean, everything is moving and there is so much taking place around the world and you're trying to grasp it all. You know, the pastor that talked about the roots of Donald Trump and revival in the land from his mother and his aunts and all these different things. And so we're trying to grasp everything. And then you wake up one morning and you read an article coming out of Breitbart News, and you have this big picture on the front cover, and it says this: Trump is to launch a worldwide fight to decriminalize homosexuality. Now, in the Breitbart News article, there's the big picture of the president with a rather large smile holding the LGBTQ flag, and he is now going global. And as my dear friend said to me earlier this morning, you know, how does a president that wants to withdraw troops from Syria so that we're not the global police anymore, well, how does that same president go on a worldwide campaign to fight so that homosexuality is decriminalized in different places? Here's what the article actually says. It says the Trump administration will launch an effort to decriminalize homosexuality in countries where it is still illegal as part of a diplomatic push for LGBTQ rights and an effort to isolate Iran, which persecutes homosexuals. So you may have a little shift here in sound just for a minute. We are on the road traveling, and we are getting ready for a very, I believe, valuable interview with David Barton. But sound here and all is working well. Let me just take a little check and make sure that we're doing good. And I believe that we are doing well. Praise the Lord. So getting back to this article, it's very interesting. NBC News reported Tuesday, which was yesterday, that the effort is to be led by U.S. Ambassador to Germany, Richard Grenell, a staunch Trump supporter who is among the highest ranking openly gay officials ever to serve in the U.S. government. Grenell. Is currently among the front runners to succeed Nikki Haley as UN ambassador. So we have a gentleman or a man or a person, whatever you want to call this, that wants or is in line for taking Nikki Haley's place as an ambassador to the United States. And he is an openly gay man. He's a very one of the strongest ever, the most highest ranking individuals ever to, you know, take that position within this administration. So U.S. Ambassador to Germany, Richard Grenell, the highest profile openly gay person in the Trump administration, is leading the effort, which kicks off Tuesday evening in Berlin. The U.S. Embassy is flying in LGBT activists from across Europe for a strategy dinner to plan to push for decriminalization in places that still outlaw homosexuality, mostly concentrated in the Middle East, Africa, and the Caribbean. And although the decriminalization strategy is still being pushed out, officials say it's likely to include working with global organizations like the United Nations, the European Union, and the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, as well as other countries whose laws already allow for gay rights. Other U.S. embassies and diplomatic posts throughout Europe, including the U.S. mission to the EU, are involved, as is the State Department's Bureau of Democracy, Human Rights, and Labor. So narrowly focused on criminalization rather than broader LGBT issues like same-sex marriage, the campaign was conceived partly in response to the recent report execution by hanging of a young gay man in Iran, the Trump administration's top geopolitical foe. There are 72 countries that still criminalize homosexuality and 8 that apply the death penalty, according to NBC. One is U.S. ally Saudi Arabia, according to a report by a gay rights organization cited by NBC News. So the Trump administration has been criticized by LGBTQ, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer activists in the U.S. for barring transgender volunteers from serving in the U.S. military and rescinding a policy from the previous administration encouraging special accommodation for transgender students in public schools. However, Trump has stayed out of debates over same-sex marriage and has promoted gay officials such as Grenell, who share his broader agenda. So President Barack Obama ran in 2008 on a platform opposing same-sex marriage and yet was embraced by LGBTQ activists. He switched his position before the 2012 elections and told African countries to drop laws discriminating against homosexuals in 2015, but did not press the issue more widely. The Trump administration has won praise from the religious groups for promoting their agenda abroad, including the Mexico City policy, which bars U.S. foreign aid for being used to fund or promote abortion. Well, Joel B. Pollack is senior editor at a large Breitbart News. He's the guy who wrote this report here. And so what are we looking at for it like this? And you stand back and you say, okay, I know that the president plays three-dimensional chess, as another friend of mine said. And what is the point of this shifting sand again? Why would the president even get involved in decriminalizing globally, you know, the laws that other nations have against homosexuality? It was once a law in Israel. It was called an abomination. It was outlawed in the United States of America. And yet in one generation, we've seen this incredible shift to not only legalize it, but to promote it. And now to defend and protect this movement, which is an effect on the psychology of our nation again. I mean, we're getting back to the psychological warfare against the nation and against the nations of the earth, giving much power to those that are more, you know, leaning in that direction. So we have an issue, and the reason I bring that up, number one, is because of the turmoil, the shifting of thoughts and ideas and concepts and of, you know, never our values, never our biblical principles, but the world in which we live keeps changing. And when we put our eyes on any man, and here's the point, any man, whether it's Donald Trump or anybody else on the planet, any time we put our eyes on a man, we're going to get blindsided. We're going to get hit. We're going to get into confusion because men's hearts are fickle. And even the very best of them in the last days, according to the book of Jeremiah, are going to be like a briar. And so we get behind a president. We're all going, morality is being uplifted and righteousness is being exalted. And we're going to see good things. And yet you turn the page and here's the president upholding and ready to go on a global initiative to make war against countries that outlaw homosexuality. And maybe this is in the realm of love, and maybe there's a motive behind it. But the fact of the matter is, the narrative, once again, being pushed is that anybody that stands up or stands out and speaks out against the things that God condemns is now the enemy of the state, so to speak. And not only the state, but the whole global order of things, if in fact things move in the direction that they appear to be moving in. So I was contacted yesterday by a friend after the broadcast. I think he kind of heard my wonderment in the program yesterday concerning, you know, man, what do you do when, you know, is it possible that we have this moment of reprieve? Is it possible that things have slowed down in the realm of judgment? You know, unfortunately, a lot of people that are preaching the gospel today are suggesting that if we're not careful, God is going to bring judgment upon our nation. And I keep telling people, if you'll read the Bible, that judgment has been upon our nation for a very long time if we understand what real biblical judgment is. Because every single time you look at the word judgment, you find those three Greek words again, krema, krino, and krisis. And the krisis is the English word crises. And so, and they're all designed to separate what is right from what is wrong, the light from the darkness, good from evil. And that's what judgment is all about, a separation from what is good and what is evil. But it comes in the form of a crisis. And so we have been in a crisis for how long now? I go back to 9/11 2001 and say, man, look at all the things that have happened within our country since 9/11 2001. And what you'll find is that these are the judgments of God that were coming upon our nation with the purpose of turning us from unrighteousness to righteousness, the purpose of waking up the church, the purpose of ultimately separating the true church from the false church, or separating the church from the world. Because you know and I know that if we're a friend of the world, we are the enemy of God. That's what the Word of God says. We are not to love the world. We're not to love the things in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the boastful pride of life. You know, if you love the world, you do not love the Father. You know, this is very clear instruction. And so crises are designed to get the people of God separated unto God and to be unentangled from the world in which we live. And yet there's so much spiritual darkness that's going around the world right now that even the minds of God's people, the very elect, can be deceived and could step into that dark mindset. And so my friend yesterday contacted me, and, you know, he heard, you know, are we in reprieve? Are we in this moment? And he put it so well when he said to me, is it, you know, maybe we need to look at the word endurance. And how does a Christian endure the days that we are living in? And he said, our endurance is we are wanting the Lord Jesus Christ to come back to this earth. We believe in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ himself, our Messiah, our Savior, told us that there would be certain signs that would accompany second coming, that there would be signs in the heavens, there would be signs on earth, and that he was very disturbed with his own generation when they did not pay attention to those signs. but they could see all the natural things, but they couldn't see the signs of the times of their days, that the Messiah had actually been among them, and they did not recognize the day of their visitation. And so we are to be paying attention to the Word of God, for it is written in the Word what we should be looking for. And men and women of God throughout the world are recognizing that everything that Jesus said would exist at the time of his second coming is here. All the signs are happening all around us. They're shouting to us from every direction. And yet it is our desire for the Lord to return. And we know that there are certain things that have to happen in order for him to return. That's part of understanding end time Bible prophecy. And while many of the signs of the times are here, the season is here. No man knows the day or the hour, but we know the season. There are a few things that still have to happen that are absolute. Number one, the falling away. And number two, the man of sin being revealed. I mean, these are powerful signs, not a man of sin, but the son of perdition, the man of sins, as spoken of in 2 Thessalonians. So while we're wanting the Lord to return, there are things that have to happen. And then when we think about a reprieve, well, now our hearts that are basically progressive and desiring and passionate for the Lord to return, now we're being told we're in a reprieve, we're in a window of opportunity for a harvest and all these different things. And so then the next school shooting happens, or the next massive earthquake, or the next sign in the heavens, and then we're shifted back to, oh my God, it's at the door. And so the question that my brother and friend was asking yesterday, how does a Christian endure this kind of activity and not be driven and tossed by every wind of doctrine and every idea and every thought and every message that we hear? You know, we hear one message and we resonate with it, and then we hear another message and it's totally different than the one we heard the day before, and we resonate with that. And so we're getting caught in something. And I don't believe that that is the intention of the Father, to have us caught into this turmoil and this political and social agitations that are happening around the world today. So what is it that you and I need more than anything? And it is, as was mentioned yesterday, endurance. And so let me just read a few verses out of the scriptures that tell us very clearly what we need to be doing. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, the very first time that the word endure is used in scripture is in Matthew 24, 13, and it says this: "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Now, we kind of gloss over that sometimes. I know at moments it becomes a very profound thought, but we have to look what's ahead of that, because, again, verse 13 begins with "but." So what's happening before the "but"? Well, there are people that are betraying one another, because there are many that are offended. There are people that are hating one another. False prophets are rising, many, deceiving many. Iniquity is abounding, and the love of many is waxing cold. So that's the general environment of what's going on in the world at that time. And the "but," he that shall aim shall be saved. So the end of what? Well, we know that the beginning of sorrows, as recorded in Matthew 24, is what we've seen. The labor pains have begun. The great tribulation is what's being birthed. And this atmosphere of betrayal and offense and hatred and false prophets and love waxing cold is an end time reality in the hearts and minds of man. So we look at that word endure in the Greek, and I think it really explains and answers the question of what we should be doing at a time like this, when every wind of doctrine is taking place, and we're moving forward, and then we're told to stop, and then we're kind of looking backwards. Well, the word endure means, and it's the Greek word hupomino, and it means to stay under, or to remain. It means to undergo or bear a trial, to persevere, to have fortitude. So when I looked at this definition, to stay under, telling the Christian community, the men and women of God that are living in the last days,
don't lift up your head because you're going to be driven and tossed with everything that's being put out there. Just keep centered on what the Word of God says, and look to the Word of God for the answers to your life, and understand that if there's a great falling away that's going to happen in the last days, you definitely don't want to raise your head up with everybody else. You want to stay under. You want to stay committed to the Word of God and not just emotions or desires or flesh or human nature or carnal thinking or man's emotions or man's pomp or man's pride. You and I need to stay under all of this that is going on, because if we pop up and we get involved, number one, it's like going outside on during a hurricane. You're going to get blown away by the winds. But if you live in a hurricane-safe home, you just ride out the storm. You stay in there until the storm is out there. You can believe this. The storm is raging right now. The false prophets are everywhere. The time of darkness is here. The falling away has begun. The offense has begun. Betrayal and hatred, the love of many waxing cold, it's there. And so if you or I pop up our heads or go out the front door, we're going to be swept away by that storm. So to endure actually is telling us stay under. Stop listening to what men are saying and listen to what the Word of God says and stay under. It's a very, very powerful lesson. In my humble opinion, it is a very powerful lesson. But there are other verses as well. And one of the parables Jesus taught in Mark chapter 4, the next time we see this word, endure, it goes back to Mark chapter 4. And I want to read this beginning in around verse 17 is where I ultimately want to be. But Mark 4:17 says this. Well, let's pick it up in 13. Let's look at the parable. In Mark 4:13, Jesus said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? And how then will you know all parables?" He said, "The sower sows the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. So going back to verse 17, we're talking about those that hear the word, receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. And afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And you know, and I know, when a Christian is offended, the next thing to follow, because offense is what? It's a trap. It's that Greek word, the word offense, means a trap. The devil is going to use offenses to ensnare God's people, get them into a trap. For what reason? To destroy them, to get them, to steal from them their salvation, to draw them away, to be part of the falling away, to get them so offended that they hate one another, they betray one another, their love waxes cold. This is the end time strategy of the devil against the church. And so we can't have stones in our hearts, right? I mean, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about those on the stony ground, and stones represent offense, hard places of the heart, areas that have not been dealt with by the Lord. And so we move on a little bit further, and we hear a scripture like Mark 13:13, which basically echoes what the Lord said. And he just went on, "And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." So What does it mean to be hated of all men? It means you can't jump on the bandwagon and just, you know, you have your eyes on a man or a system or anything else and just kind of go in the direction. The Christian in the last days is going to be hated of all nations. All men are going to hate the Christian in the last days. And you're seeing a global movement in the world to direct a narrative against God's word. God's scriptures are no longer allowed, desired, or wanted by the masses. And so when we see the President of the United States suggesting a global initiative to decriminalize homosexuality, he's actually promoting and he's authenticating it and he's validating it. And this would be a terrible mistake because this is a direct offense against the word of God. And so we must be very careful about where our eyes are and where our attention and where our mind is at when it comes to these issues. And you and I are going to learn to endure through hatred, through offense. We're going to have to not be offended. We're not going to be able to hate one another. We're not going to allow our love to grow cold. Well, in 2 Thessalonians, Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica, and in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4, he said these words, "So that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure." Well, praise God. Paul was looking at a people that were enduring the persecutions. They were enduring tribulations. They were doing it how? By patience and faith. And we're told in the scripture, here is the patience of the saints in Revelation chapter 13, when the first beast comes, and right before the knowledge of the second beast, here is the patience of the saints. And what is that patience? Not to lift up your head. Stay under. Endure. Remain connected to what you know is true and believe. He writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." So when the hard times come, we're told again, endure that hardness. Stay under. Keep going, persevere. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10, he said, "Therefore," Paul was speaking of himself, "I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." So Paul was maintaining his journey, and you know he suffered more than anybody we know about in Scripture except Christ himself, and yet he endured his tribulation, his trial, just so that the people that were following his ministry would also obtain the salvation that he found in Jesus Christ. You know, there are people watching your life. There are people watching your ministry, and they're wanting to see how you're going to do in the time of testing, in the time of trial, temptation, persecution. And when Paul was going through all these things, he was standing not for himself. Definitely he had a love for Christ, but he was also thinking about the people following him and watching him, because if he had fallen, he as well have turned around to everybody else and said, "Listen, you're not going to be able to do this. You just may as well expect you're going to fall away." But here, somebody had the right heartbeat. They were definitely connected to the cross. They were dead to themselves, alive unto God. And this is the way it has to be. And we've got to stop idolizing the Apostle Paul and putting him on some kind of pedestal and thinking that he's the unreachable apostle. No, if he's anything, example. And what Jesus Christ is to you and I is what Paul was going after. We're supposed to be doing the same exact thing. It doesn't matter who we are and how long in the journey we have been. In 2 Timothy 4:3, he went on. He said, "For the time will come when they," God's people, "will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." What concerns me about this particular passage of scripture is that people are not enduring in their soul realm. They're not enduring in their patience and in their faith. And so rather than feeling the brunt of people's disapproval for they're not willing to get on their bandwagon, they wind up following them, and then they realize, man, I wish I hadn't done that. You know, I wish I hadn't followed that line of thought, because look at now it's perverse and it's not really what it was saying. I should have stayed true to my own reality. Well, in the last days, this is going to happen in mass. People are going to be following doctrines everywhere, and they're going to finally say, listen, I'm tired of the tribulation. I'm tired of the persecution. I'm tired of being hated by all people. I'm tired of being hated by the nations. Look at everybody in the world's having such a wonderful time. They all are doing great. You know, everybody's having fun. Homosexuals, lesbians, transgender people, it's all accepted around the world. Maybe I'm a fanatic. Maybe I'm too rigidly, rigid. You know, maybe there's a problem with me, and I just am tired of this. And so I'm going to get on the bandwagon. I'm going to let it go. I'm not going to speak out anymore. I'm not going to say anything anymore. I'm just going to kind of morph into, being a non-usable vessel of God and just wait to die and go to heaven one day. And I really am concerned that that is going to happen, and that's more diabolical than a full frontal attack of nuclear bombs, quite frankly. Just the idea that the spiritual atmosphere is going to turn men's hearts away from God is a very powerful strategy, and Jesus was telling us all about it. And so is the Apostle Paul in verse 5. He just said, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. Yeah, if the ministry of Timothy would have sunk into a diminishing way or religious tradition or just going through the motions and, but it had no impact, no spiritual impact, no fortitude, no undergoing the trial, no staying under, no endurance. I mean, what is a Christian's life without that? What is a Christian that just vacillates back and forth, is in and out, really doesn't understand anything, and they're driven by every wind of emotion that blows, within their heart? I mean, what is that? Sometime we're going to have to look at the Word of God. We're going to have to be dedicated to the Word of God. We're going to have to declare that the Word of God is true, period. And when you look at this world and you see what people are doing, you have to agree with the Word of God that we are in unprecedented times right now, and we better be careful about following any man or jumping on any bandwagon. And I do maintain that. And I know it's a battle. I know it's a struggle because on the one hand, we see men doing great things. Well, there was a guy by the name of Paul Cain, and I'm sorry to bring up his name, but Paul Cain was a prophet that people coming from all over the world, and while he was reading their mail and prophesying, he was having a homosexual relationship. Men like Rick Joyner and Mike Bickle, they had to sit him down and reprove him, and then another group of men said, well, he's healed now, and they put him back, but the others said, no. But what was the point here? Here's a guy that was doing good works, and yet he was having a homosexual alcoholic problem in his life while he was ministering. Well, what do you do with that information? The eyes were on the man. Here's the prophet. Let's run to the prophet. Let's hear the word of God. And people, you go on Facebook, they all go, wow, Paul Cain, what an amazing man of God he was. Well, how do you say that this is an amazing man of God when he was participating in these sins while he was in ministry? You see, this is the blindness and the deception. If you happen to say anything against that, those people will hate your guts and call you every name in the book. Well, Paul didn't stop there. He went on and continued to minister, and he said in Hebrews, I love this, and nobody could say for sure that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, but in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 17, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? So what happens if you don't endure chastening? Well, the next verse kind of tells you that anybody that doesn't have this kind of discipline in their life is simply a bastard, an illegitimate believer. I mean, how many men and women are going to church that have no discipline? And then in Hebrews 12:20, it says that the people of old were not able to endure that which was commanded. Is it possible that people today are unable to endure the simple instructions that are written in the Word of God? See, it's coming, folks. It is coming strong. A strong delusion. Deep, dark deception. And while we're all looking at exposure of darkness in government, as we're all looking at exposure to those things, but what about the exposure of men's hearts? What about people that are not enduring their journey in staying under? It's a dangerous thing, I think. And then finally, we read in James chapter 5, verse 11, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." Wow. "You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." Isn't that amazing? We count them happy which endure. So where is true happiness going to be found? In giving up? In yielding to the prevailing winds? To moving in those directions? Where is the real happiness? It's found in those who endure. Their happiness is a spiritual happiness that comes from the presence of God. The presence of God. And so we haven't even looked at the scriptures dealing with endurance or any of those types of things, but I thought maybe this was a good beginning for us to have some dialogue in. And perhaps you're out there today and you would like to share in this radio broadcast. The number to call is 818-369-0326. Put one on your dial pad. We'd love to hear from you. What does it mean to endure in such a time as this? Ladies and gentlemen, your endurance, my endurance, is going to have to come from an inward baptism of the Holy Spirit, a divine-natured character that is being built into us that will give us the ability to undergo the trials that are ahead of us. And you and I have to understand that there are trials ahead of us, but if we weaken and we pop our heads up, we're going to think there's nothing but good old days and luxury ahead of us. We're going to think that it's all nothing but blue skies ahead of us. Well, that's not what the Bible is saying. The Bible teaches us that when times are like they are around the world and you see these things happening, you know it's at the door. The time of persecution, the time of suffering, the time of a worldwide hatred against the church of Jesus Christ, everything called God, is what's at the door. And so are you or am I being tempted to step outside into the prevailing winds of this massive hurricane? Are we willing to step outside because we're getting bored waiting? We're inside the house, we're protected, we're safe, but, you know, we're not hearing anything. You know, we're getting bored in the house. So do we dare open a window or open a door and step outside? Well, you would be insane if you were in Noah's Ark. You don't open that door until God opens that door. You don't open the window to that ark until God opens that door. And you and I are told to go into the ark, to remain in the ark, to stay within the ark, to make sure that what we're doing with our lives right now is preparing an ark, building an ark, getting ready for what we know lies ahead. But what if we just left off building the ark and we said, you know what, this is ridiculous. What are we doing building arks right now? You mean our Christian friends are mocking us? The people around us are scoffing at us. You know, the world is in such a happy state. We're seeing all this stuff happen. You know, why should I even continue to build my ark? Why should I even continue to prepare my house and my family? Why should I warn people? What if Noah would have stopped preaching righteousness? What if Noah would have stopped building his ark? What if that had happened? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we could only surmise, but it probably wouldn't have been good for the human race, I don't think. But he didn't. He endured. He feared the Lord. He honored the Lord. And even though he couldn't see what was going on, he did see a wicked world, but even though he couldn't see the judgments that God was talking about, he believed the Lord. He feared God. And when he feared God, he prepared. Now, you and I read God's Bible. There's not a person out there listening now that would read God's book and say, well, nothing bad is going to happen. That would be utter blindness, deep, dark foolishness. And you and I should be preparing. with one hand and reaching out to win souls with the other hand. We should keep our mind and our emotions and our soul under so that we don't become desirous, because in the last days, there's a great falling away that's going to happen. What is that? People are going to stop enduring. They are not going to remain. They are not going to stay under. They're going to begin to capitulate. They're going to begin to compromise. They're going to begin to look at things and see things, and immediately their perception is going to be darkened, and it's going to look good, but it's not going to be good. Ladies and gentlemen, the word of God is spoken. Patricia, you have something you'd like to share, and you might want to speak into this atmosphere here.
Yes, I do. And that is that with all that we see coming upon the earth, the darkness and the light dividing, the light is going to get greater, more brilliant, brighter, and the darkness is going to get more dark, dim, and destructive. However, in our position of endurance, we don't lose our joy. For the joy of the Lord is our strength, and it will bring us through to endure to the end. For the same that endured to the end shall be saved. What is that meaning to us, to you and I? It means the salvation of our souls complete. We've endured and we have completed our souls to become the precious bride of Jesus Christ. So what we need to continue to look upon after that wonderful exhortation you heard from Vincent Xavier, Pastor Vincent Xavier, is that there is a wonderful, incredible salvation of glory that lies ahead very, very soon. We're going to meet the King. In that salvation, that glorious life will be eternal forever and ever and ever. And we will rule and reign over the nations with him. And we cannot forget that, because in that rulership, we have been ordained by the Lord God Almighty for those who endure and keep their joy and do not turn back. He will bring them in from the east, the west, the north, the south. It will be his remnant people, those who understand the word with clarity and have not been deceived by false preaching. And the word of God became alive through the revelation knowledge of reading the word rather than listening to the voice of mere men. And by that I mean ministers also who are very well known. But with the Spirit of God and the truth, there are ministers who know and who understand and who are preparing their flock. And Pastor Vincent Xavier and myself are one that are doing so. And we do have an ark.
Patricia, and because we are where we are, I'm pretty sure we're still broadcasting. On the broadcast, let me find out. I think we had a great exhortation. Let me just see if this is still working here and bring in. Looks like Pastor Ken Wagner is on the line. Good morning, Ken. How are you today?
Well, good morning, Pastor. How are you doing today?
Well, we're doing very good, sir. What's going on with you?
You know, I was thinking when you were talking about. I'm sorry, I missed what Pastor Patricia just said.
Well, that's okay. Go ahead and share your thoughts. She was just wondering how you were doing.
Ah, well, we're blessed. Praise God. You know, I couldn't help but think of endurance. And, you know, to a lot of people, that's almost like a four-letter word. You know, you expect me to do that, and you expect me to go out and perform this way and do that, you know, in light of what everybody else has said in the world. Everybody wants the world to be easy and soft and everything just to flow and everybody go along with that. You know, when I went into the military on there, I went through basic training. I didn't think I was going to make it through because I was so out of shape. And I looked at some of the guys that were in a lot worse shape than I was, and hey, they were pushing and 400 people in there, and I'm not trying to go ahead and boost myself up into a higher position, but I endured during that as well and studied and really got into it, and I came out number one. You know, by all
Okay, got you. Understood. That is sad because it was one of the best programs.
Oh, we're back
okay.
on now. Good.
All right.
That's good news.
Yes, okay. Bye-bye.
All right. So, Ken, are you there by any chance? Is Ken Wagner on the phone right now?
Yes, sir, I am.
Ken, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. You got bounced off as soon as you started talking. So, all right. So you got bounced off. You're back on the air. You called into the program. Let's hear your heart, sir.
Okay. I hope I can say it again the way I just did. You know, the words that you're talking about, endurance, are, so to speak, almost like a four-letter word to a lot of people. They said, why do I have to endure? I mean, come on. I want to just flow. I want to go where the boat is going. I want to go flow with the current. You know, why should I go ahead and try and buck the system? I remember early on when I went into the military and I went into basic training, I almost wanted to give up. Because I said, wow, this is too hard. How am I going to endure this? And I looked around me at some of the people that were in a lot worse shape than I was, and they were going forth and doing everything that they needed to do to try and succeed and overcome. And I said, wow, if they can do it, why can't I? And I developed that attitude and tried harder and harder, and I ended up coming out in the top 10%. I don't know what my actual score was. They didn't tell us that. But it was enough, and I got promoted from E1, the basic where you all start, into E2. And I said, wow, that's good. And then I went into AIT, Advanced Infantry Training, to the next set of my training on there, and then that was just as bad. And I said, oh, Lord, how am I going to ever get out of this mess? And I did that, and I came in the top 10% again. And they promoted me again to E3. That became a PSC, War Not One Strike. And I said, wow, okay. And I went on, and that's how my military career kept going, and I kept getting moved on up the ladder. And it was a blessing that way, realizing that endurance will actually result in promotion. So when I went to the police department, I went through my training. There was 400 of us in the class.
Okay, Pastor Ken, I think your phone got disconnected again, and yet we heard about the endurance that is going to produce a good result, and that is awesome. Unfortunately, not able to hear you at this time. Patricia had a thought here.
Yes, I do. If he endured without Christ, and was able to accomplish because of his tenacity to continue on, how much more will we with the living Savior who is all-powerful, mighty, and able?
Well, amen to that. So what we have been talking about came out of a discussion yesterday from a friend up in the Michigan area who wanted to have a discussion on this need for endurance right now. That we as Christians, we don't kind of give up or lose hope or move in another direction when things look different than what we're expecting. And I would remind our listeners today that since 9/11/2001, this world has changed. Our nation has changed. We are living in a totally transformed nation, and a man called President Donald J. Trump is supposedly laboring to bring things back to a better place. But then we see the malfunctioning ideology to support homosexuality and to make it a criminal offense to criminalize that. And that is going to be a problem, and we need to see those things for what they are. So rather than saying, oh, man, I was at the top of the mountain, now I'm at the bottom of the mountain because what this man did. You and I are to keep our eyes, our mind, our emotions on the Word of God. And when we look through the biblical lens at what's going on in the world, it's pretty evident and pretty clear that we are living at a time where we need to stay in the house, get under, remain faithful, and do what is right with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, in just about 5 minutes, we're going to say goodbye to this radio broadcast. And then 1 hour later on KERM Radio, I'm going to have the honor and privilege of interviewing David Bartram. And David Bartram, as you know, is the president of Wall Builders International. He's been all over the world. And I would ask for your special prayers for that interview. And I would ask that, you know, as we're traveling, that this all works out for the glory of God. But I want to be very pointed in my conversation with him and see how everything connects. So we'll be on KERM Radio in about 1 hour and 4 minutes. And the address there is KERM, that's K-U-R-M as in Michael, KERM.net. So if you are listening outside of the local area of Northwest Arkansas, you could go to KERM, K-U-R-M.net, and you'll be able to listen to the broadcast and the interview with David Barton. I'm definitely looking forward to that. And until we get there, I want to thank our listeners for continually tuning in to the Omega Radio Network, and thank you for getting the word out that we are broadcasting 24/7. And I want to continue to thank all of you that have supported this ministry and that you will continue to support this ministry so that we can continue to be a voice in this earth. And I believe that Patricia and I are being basically compelled by the Holy Spirit to maintain our course. We're surrounded with very strong Christian men and women that keep us moving in the right direction. And at times when we feel a little weak or tired, they're there to undergird us. We're thankful for that. We want to be a faithful ministry in the last days. And I hope by the way that we have shared the information, and then when the callers call in and share their heart, it only enhances what we're talking about. I think what Pastor Ken Wagner brought up was excellent, that he was able to endure his time in the military, and every time he did, he went further in his rank. And so we praise God for that. Say it again.
And how much more when you are in Christ.
Yeah, so we can do this, saints. There's a wind out there. There's a mighty, terrible destruction all over the world. There's chaos and confusion. Don't allow somebody to talk you out of your place in Christ. Lo, when they say, here he is, don't go out there. Lo, there he is, don't go out there. There's going to be a voice that's going to entice you and I to go out to see things, but it's basically drawing us out of that hedge of protection that God has called us into.
And taking their
yeah, taking their money is right. And speaking about money, if you would like to support this radio broadcast financially, you could always do so by going to omegaradio.org, and there is a PayPal tab where you could donate, or you could send to our P.O. Box in Decatur, Arkansas, which is P.O. Box 100, and that's in Decatur, Arkansas, 72722. But for right now, that's it. We're going to say goodbye, and we're going to allow things to wrap up here, unless there's anybody. We've got a lot of callers right now. And if any of our callers have a question or comment, please feel free to press 1 on the dial pad. If not, we're going to let it go. We'll see you in 1 hour over at the KERM Radio, and we're going to be broadcasting live. Patricia, what an amazing moment ahead of us.
It's an amazing time for all of us like never before. Let your voice be heard. And pray for us as we do our traveling to go back to Arkansas. Please do pray and consider us in that manner. Thank you, and God bless you.
God bless, Saints. We'll see you in about an hour on Kerm Radio.